Thank you so much, Phil, for that beautiful introduction. I'm really happy I came. And, of course, I want to express my deep appreciation to Rabbi Bassus, and very humbling to ascend the pulpit of my esteemed colleague. And I thank him for graciously offering me this opportunity to address you on this very important subject. And I also express our heartfelt wishes to Rabbi Bassus. And it is also, I would be remiss if I did not make note of my esteemed colleague, Rabbi Luban. Oh, and Rabbi Mykoff also is here. And I thank you so much for coming to hear. Originally I was once asked to give a speech on how to control one's anger, and it turned out to be a conflict because my yeshiva centennial was the same night, which I became very angry about. And now they ask a rabbi who usually, I don't know if you speak to my balabatim, you know, if there's a problem with the time when it's time for kiddush, you know, and the rabbi's still speaking, of how not to speak. But this is an important subject, a very important subject, and I have to thank you all for coming to this ideas that we'd like to share together tonight. And I'm sure it's not because you have a lot of shoveling. I'm sure everyone has to do. But it's really an honor for me to have you all come. And I thank you. And thank you again, Phil. All right. Where do you begin? How do you speak about Shmiras HaLoshin? How do you speak about Lashon Hara? It seems to be a very daunting task. Because I guess the most interesting drushes you could give on Lashon Hara is all replete with all that juicy stuff about Lashon Hara. And as soon as you start writing, you realize, and I can't tell you that, and I can't tell you that. And I'm not going to talk about the email issue, you know. I'm not going to talk about, and that's my speech. So it's really been a pleasure to be here. So I'm going to leave the how and the what to the wonderful program that this wonderful organization provides, the ACT program. They're going to discuss the how and the why, the how and the what. I really wanted just to touch upon the why. Why is it so important? Why is it so essential? What is it all about? And as Phil mentioned, this is a subject that I feel personally connected to. And I'll tell you a story that happened in the 1930s when my grandfather was a Rav in Chicago, Illinois, and he is a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, as was mentioned. And my mother was born. And my grandmother, who was Rav Moshe Feinstein's sister, Rebbetzin Small from Chicago, she contracted polio. And the doctor, all the doctors, lost hope for my mother surviving. And my grandfather sent an emergency telegram to his Rebbe in Radin, in Europe, in Russia, to daven for my mother. And in 3 days, miraculously and inexplicably, my mother she was able to recover. And I guess, and then months later, my grandfather had a chavra of his who was visiting Chicago, and he asked him, did the Chafetz Chaim ever receive my telegram? And he told him that yes, and it was the middle of the night, and the Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he awoke all of the Talmidim in the yeshiva from the dormitory, wherever they were, and they said Tehillim in the Beis Medrash. And they were able to find that that was 3 days, and to the minute, as the Talmidim and the Chofetz Chaim were saying Tehillim in the Beis Medrash, in the yeshiva, that's when my mother recovered. So my Zaidi understood the power of tefillah and the power of the Chofetz Chaim. So I guess, if it wasn't for the Chofetz Chaim, I would not be here in front of you to talk about the Chofetz Chaim or to discuss this subject. And that's really something that if I want to share with you, just things that when I was a young man, and I want you to know, my grandfather passed away when I just turned 20, and I was able to know my grandfather and be with my grandfather throughout my teens, and he would spend Sukkot with us in Montreal, and both in Washington, but in Montreal especially, and he would talk about stories in the sukkah about his what would happen with the Chofetz Chaim and how the Chofetz Chaim would give him a bracha, and then he would go on a very dangerous mission for him in times of the communists, in times of the Tsarist Russia, when they would taking boys, and he would be there, my grandfather, risking his life, but he would be willing to risk his life if he knew he had the bracha of his Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim. And maybe later, if you want to hear stories, I want to go off on a tangent, but I'll maybe share with you stories about my grandfather and the Chofetz Chaim. But one thing my grandfather knew is that he would risk his life if he got a bracha from the Chofetz Chaim. I mean, that was something he would bet on. He would bet his life, and he did many times. And the question is, you know, how is it that the Chofetz Chaim, such a tzaddik, but how is it that the Chofetz Chaim, his tefillahs were listened to and heard? And that I'm able to come in front of you and pretty much, I don't know if I have any business speaking now because maybe I'm not supposed to be here if not for the tefillahs of the Chofetz Chaim. So let's now discuss this issue of why it is so important. This halacha of, as the Chofetz Chaim, who wrote his work, the first work that the Chofetz Chaim wrote in the beginning of the 19th century, when he was found to be, when you know he was a person who was very humble, he was a very slight person, and he wasn't a dynamic speaker, and yet he found, and he was discovered to be this great tzaddik because of what? Because of his work that he gave on the Chofetz Chaim, which is a book, a source book, and actually a rule book on how to protect your speech from speaking, you know, from, and the Chofetz Chaim, the whole topic came from his Shmiras Haloshin, which is Chofetz Chaim and Shmiras Haloshin comes from the pasuk Mihu Yisha Chofetz Chaim Oyev Yom Lireis Tov. Who is a person who wants to live? Oyev Yomim, who loves days. He wants days in this world, as the Gemara says. And Lireis Tov, he wants to see Olam Haba. So what do you have to do? Mitzor Lashon Chameira. You have to watch out for what you say. Guard your tongue. And if you watch your tongue, then you're set. And these are the words of David HaMelech. And then the pasuk continues, Sur Me Rava Aseto, Vakesh Olam Rev. You're all familiar with the pasuk, but the question is, the first on the list is the Tzor Lashon Chameira. And the Chofetz Chaim identified this, and he was able to tell us how important it is to make sure you speak properly. Now he lists in his Sefer, if you go through the list, you'll see maybe a possibility of 17 los asays and 14 asays and 3 arurim that possible a person could be violating with every word that he says from Lashon Hara, which is a terrible thing. But this alone is, you know, there's a lot of averis in the Torah. I mean, when it comes to somebody just the other time asked me about shaving, you know, if you shave, if you're a male who shaves with a razor, you're also talking about a few averis for every hair that you do it in the wrong way. You got to get the right razor. You got to get the right mechanism. So what's going on when it comes to Lashon Hara that it is so adamant? And if you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, and I did not bring a Rambam here to this shul because I had a feeling that they would have a Rambam in this shul, and I was right. It's amazing. Yeah, just took a chance. What can I say? And if you look at the seventh parak in Hilchos Deis, it is a pretty frightening. If you look at this Rambam, the Rambam says
He talks about it, a person who does speak Lashon Hara over below Saseh, Shinemar lo yiseilach rachel ba'amecha, and even though there is no malchus, there's no lashes, it's a terrible avon, v'gorim laharig nefoshes rabos, you could cause terrible damage. This is what the Rambam says. Then he goes further, he defines what rechilus is, defines what Lashon Hara is, but we're not going to define it, we're going to let ACT, the program ACT, define that for us, right? We're not going to steal everything. Orach HaChomim, there are three averis that a person gets punishment in this world, and he possibly could lose his chelik in Olam Haba, v'en l'chelik Olam Haba, averis kechov, averis kechovim, pagan worship, gila arayu, sfich astami, murder, v'loshin hara, ki ikneged kulam. So this is the Rambam. The Rambam was quoting Chazal. Loshin hara is the worst of all. And then he talks about, look at the halacha of Vav. I'll read to you. Kol elu heim bali Lashon Hara. He speaks about people who speak Lashon Hara. She'osir loder b'shchun asam. If you have a person who speaks Lashon Hara and you live in his neighborhood, put your house up for sale. V'chol shkein leishav imoim, even to sit with them or listen to them. And then he adds, v'loy nechtam gzardin al v'yseinu b'midbar ela al Lashon Hara. What was the stamp that caused our forefathers when they were in the Midbar to remain in the Midbar and never to go into Israel? They violated the Egel, they did other Averas, but what was the one Avera that they could not somehow find a reprieve? What was it? When they spoke Lashon Hara in the land of Israel. Okay? So what is it? Why is Lashon Hara so terrible? What is it? Sticks and stones. So what is it? And I took the liberty of photostatting. If you look at your photostats, you know, the sheish zechiros that we have each and every day. There are six zechiros. These are mitzvos that you have. Six zechiros. And it says, L'man tizkar yom tzeizchom yezroin kol yimei chayecho. You have to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's apropos, right? This time of year, Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to remember Har Sinai. You have to remember Amalek. And you have to remember the Egel. And you have to remember Shabbos. But look at right in the middle there. What else should you remember? You have to remember each and every day. It's a mitzvah to remember. Zochar es asher asa Hashem l'kecha l'miriam b'derech b'tzeislam in Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. What Hashem did to Miriam is a mitzvah to remember. So, if you look in context to all the other five, it has to do with the collective. I mean, those have to do with earth-shattering events, right? Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's why we have the Seder, and the ladies are, suffering till today, right? Maimon Har Sinai, that's something to remember each day. Amalek, This is the evil, the forces of evil in the world, you have to remember. Maisa Egel, this has to do with the collective Aveira of the Jewish people that we're still suffering from today. And Zechira Shabbos, that represents the belief in God's creation of the world, okay? So all of that has to do with the collective. But what happened to one person? And who was this one person? This was Miriam. And what did she say? She said something uncomplimentary on who? On a little brother. No, she's the older sister. And she's, she said, and who did she speak to? She spoke to her brother, who was the Kaddish, Aaron HaKoyen, the Kohen Gadol, the Tzaddik. So, he's the person you could be a confidant with. And how did Hashem punish Miriam? With Sarah. This is what we're supposed to remember. But who did this happen to? It happened to one person. It happened to one person. And we have a mitzvah in one of the 613 mitzvahs that we have is to remember every single day what happened to Miriam. So isn't that, doesn't that, and that's together with the zechira of what? Har Sinai. That's together with Amalek. That's together with Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's together with the Egel. And Shabbos. Happens to everybody? This happens to one person because she had a conversation about her brother and she got hit? Okay, Miriam was a great tzaddikus, she was a Nevi'ah, okay. But come on, I gotta remember what happened to her every single day. And if that's one of the 613 mitzvahs. But that's what our obligation is. And it's equal to Har Sinai. And it's equal to Zechiras HaMolech. It's equal to the Egel. It's emphatic. It's something that is so compelling. It's as if this is important as Har Sinai. This is a Zechira that I need to remember every single day of my life. Just like it's Yitzias Mitzrayim, every single day of your life. So we have to really understand. And then you look further in the Torah, you'll find that there is this type of disease that we're going to be having after Pesach. We're going to be reading about after Pesach, which is the Tumas Tzaras. And we find that this is a phenomena that isn't really the disease of leprosy, but it's a miraculous disease that affects its inanimate objects. It could be able to affect a house. It could affect someone's clothing. Not only just living beings, it has to do with even inanimate. I would grow inexplicably, and then it would somehow disappear. And where does this saras come from? This comes from, and call him a saper lashon hara. Chazal say, our sages say, negayim bayim olav. You speak lashon hara, you'll get a nega. So you figure there's a lot of shluchim. The person doesn't have veira. There's a lot of shluchim. So Hashem has to invent the tumah. He's got to invent a miracle of tzaraas. That who do you go to if you have such a thing? So you have medical insurance. You go to the doctor. Who do you go to? You go to the rabbi. And you go, not the rabbi, you go to a kohen. V'uvel aron ha-kohen, achmi banav. You go to a kohen and he's the one who decides whether you become a tzaraas. Then you have to, if you are Rahman Litzlan, you have to sit Shiva outside, and you're like in Chayrim, and you can't, no one can come, and anyone who comes near you, Tomei, you're like living dead. And what does this come? Hashem has to invent, what? Invent? He has to invent and change the laws of nature, inventing these miraculous things in order to give you, a person, a punishment for speaking Lashon Hara. Was he inventing things? So I gotta remember things like Har Sinai, what happened to one person, Miriam. God invents miracles. So what is this about Lashon Hara? I mean, come on. I mean, did you kill somebody? What happened? What does it do? Okay. So if you look at Bereishis, we find that the first Jew of Yaakov Avinu, he seemed to have a hard time with his speech. We all know that when he was given the mandate by his mother Rivka, who told him, this is what you have to do, and Rivka was a Neviah, she was a prophetess, she knew what needed to be done, and Yaakov didn't want to do that. He didn't want to go into his brother, his father, and he was, that he would, be impersonating his brother. They were twins, but he didn't want to fool his father. He did Emes LeYaakov. Yaakov was the epitome of Emes, and yet his mother told him, "This is what you have to do." So he clothed himself in a sheepskin and he went to his father. And these are the psukim. If you look at B, you'll see Yaakov Avinu goes, and the only thing he couldn't disguise was what? His voice. And what did Yitzchak say? Vayomer hakol kol Yaakov vayidai midei Esav. So apparently Esav must have had this really baritone voice, you know, like they heard, like a monster, right? And Yaakov was, you know, Yaakov, sweet Yaakov. So is that the way it was? And that would be a nice way of looking at it, and therefore Yaakov had no way of being able to disguise his voice. But if you look at the psukim describe the exact words that Yaakov used in speaking to Yitzchak, and then later it talks about how Esav spoke to his father. Look what he says. Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv. Look at number 2 by B. Yaakov says to his father, "Anoichi Esav b'chayrecha, I am Esav, your firstborn. Asisi kasher dibarti elai, I did what you told me." And then he says, "Kumna, please get up. Shvava ochla mitzedi, bavur tvarchai nafshecha." So he says, "Kumna." Let's look further, and then Yitzchak asked him, "Ooh, we took your fast. Wow, this is really, you're really fast. And what did Yaakov respond? Ki hikra Hashem alukecha lefana. Hashem, your God, allowed me to find this right away. So, and then afterwards, Vayemer Yaakov Geshona v'amushocha b'ni. Ha'atazeh b'ni Esav? Is this truly my son? Why is Yitzchak suspicious? And let's look at number four. Look at four. Vayemer, when he finished, he says, "Are you my son Esav?" Vayemer Hagishali v'ochle mitzedeh b'ni. L'man tevorecha nafshi. He right away comes. Here, get up and eat from your son in order for you to bless me. What is he missing? What did he not say that Yaakov said? Please. Yaakov said please. And he doesn't say please. So, and does he mention God's name? No mention of God's name. What does Yaakov say? Yaakov mentions God's name. And Yaakov says please to his father. So if you look at what's going on, it's not just that Yaakov couldn't disguise his voice. They were twins. I mean, you know, how hard is it to try to disguise your brother you live with so long? But he also didn't change his expression to his father. He said, please. And when he asked him, how were you able to get it? He gave it, attributed it to God. So the question is, that if Yaakov's so smart, and that it would actually jeopardize and put him in peril because he's afraid that if his father discovers him, he might curse him instead, then why is he not impersonating Esav? He should impersonate him. I mean, he's not an idiot. So what should he do? You know, if for a few moments in your life, you could not say please. Just say Keshur. He knows how Esav talks. And don't mention Hashem's name. And everything will be fine. But what's the problem? Yaakov, he doesn't know that. He right away mentions please when he speaks to his father. And he says Hashem's name. And because of that, the jig is almost up. And also Yitzchak is saying, are you sure? Am I listening right? It sounds just like Yaakov. Hakol kol Yaakov. So what's going on? Is Yaakov Meshuggah? Is he nuts? I mean, is this how you would deal with it? There's so much at stake. And he would be afraid before that maybe his father, if he'd be discovered, he would be possibly, Rahmanul, he would be cursed. So how do you understand it? So there's a very important aspect to all of this that needs to be understood. And this is really introduced to us in the creation of the world. When Hashem created the world, if you look in Bereishis Beis, you look at sea, you will see that when God formed man, he uses the following terminology, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam, and God created man, Ofor min ha'adama, Vayipach ba'apov, and he blew in him, Nishmas Chayim, the breath of life, Vayi Adam l'nefesh chaya, and man was for a nefesh chaya, for a living being. So, the point is, Rashi comments on this, and this is really from what is that element that elevates man above the animal kingdom? What is it? And Rashi says, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Af behema v'chaya nikru nefesh chaya." Even the animal kingdom is used this terminology as identification of nefesh chaya. Achzu shel adam chayim shibechulo. That this is the name of man is greater than all of them. Why? Shenisvasis by deya v'dibur. Because what was given to man, what added to man, was deya, was understanding, intellect, v'dibur, and the power of speech. The power of speech is that element that is given man that allows him to be superior than any other beings in the world, any of the animal kingdom. Everyone else is nefesh chaya, and man is shnizvasis by deya v'dibur. And if you look at Unkelis, Rashi learns this from Unkelis, and let's look at Unkelis on the side on the left of C. Uvro elikim yos adam afra min admoso nefach vayipin yishmoso dechaya v'havis ba'odam leruach memalu. What does nefesh chaya refer to in man? It's this power of speech. So all of a sudden what's happening is you are what you say. That the type of person you become is all dependent on how you express yourself. The words that come out of your mouth. And therefore it is absolutely critical that this be in the best and possible way. Because if you don't have the words that come out of your mouth in this best and most pristine and spiritual fashion, then God forbid you are relegating yourself to being at a lower level than you could be. And this is, if you look now, if you understand this to be a fact, then now let's go back to the Parsha in Toldos. Why did Yaakov choose to speak in the way that he did? He was impersonating Esav. It was a danger. He was placing himself in danger if he would be discovered. And not even for a moment did he somehow try to impersonate Esav in the manner of his speech. Because Yaakov was worried that he wanted to be Yaakov who was impersonating Esav. But if he would speak like Esav, he was afraid that he no longer would be Yaakov impersonating Esav. And who would he become? He would become Esav. Because the way you speak is the way you are. Because if you are giving this nefesh chaya of God, then the way you speak and express yourself is the way you are. And that was something that Yaakov in no time in his life ever wanted to be. He never wanted to be Esav. He wanted to be impersonating Esav, but he did not want to become Esav. And if he would have spoken like Esav, then he even for that moment would have been Esav. And he was willing even to jeopardize the whole shebang. And it was Akol Kol Yaakov Hayadayim Edei Esav. This is the motto that we hear throughout the generations from Yitzchak, Akol Kol Yaakov. It has to be the Kol of Yaakov. And that really is what will counter the Yadayim Edei Esav. And this is, in essence, what the Chofetz Chaim himself expresses. So now we get a general understanding as to how it is so critical. How it could be that a Chazal can say something so remarkable like placing under the three cardinal sins of Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah, together with what? Lashon Hara Keneged Kulam. That Lashon Hara, why? Because Lashon Hara has this ability of damaging not only others, but damaging yourself. Because you no longer, what you're doing is you're killing yourself, you're killing that neshama. You're destroying that part of yourself that could be better. And this is the issue. And if you understand, at least now you look at the Sheish Zechiris, that together with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zechiris Maimon Har Sinai, you have to remember what it means to believe in God. That you know that God is in control of all aspects of life. And to believe in Maimon Har Sinai, to understand and to live every day, knowing, to hearing the kolos of Har Sinai every day, to remember too, of Zachar Asher Salach Ala Miriam, that if you want to keep yourself, you want to still achieve, you know, live up to your potential, you have to speak like that. And it has to be the Kol of Kol Yaakov, and always analyze that. But it's even more than that. And now we'll turn the page, and we'll see what the Chofetz Chaim himself speaks about this subject. The Chofetz Chaim, in the beginning of Shmiras HaLoshen, I want you to know, if I can maybe go back again to my own personal life, my grandfather told me, he came over to me, he was feeling weak, he was on Sukkot, and he told me this statement 3 days before he passed away. He passed away on Shabbos of Chol HaMoed Sukkot, and 3 days before he passed away, he called me over to him, and he told me the secret that he had, that my mother remained a great Rebbetzin, and she remained frum, and God-fearing and observant, even in Chicago, which didn't have any yeshivas or anything. And he told me the secret, because he would learn every day Shmiras Halasha with my mother. And he would learn the Sefer of Shmiras. See, the Chafetz Chaim had two Svarim. Chafetz Chaim was the rule book, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shmiras Halasha was an appreciation of how, why is important to be careful of how you speak. And he would learn Shmiras Halashin, which is replete with such wonderful, beautiful gems of Yerushalayim. And it's really, if you can learn anything, if Ak can do anything, wow, to learn Shmiras Halashin is wonderful. My grandfather had to share that with me. He wanted to share that idea with me. And I know that to a certain extent, there was other reasons too, but my mother also was also very careful in speaking Lashon Hara, and I guess now I figured it out. Let's see what the Shmiras HaLashon now says on this issue. And this, I shared with you the beginning of the Shmiras HaLashon, which is Shara Zechira, and I took an excerpt from the first parak, and then an excerpt from the 10th parak, and you could find this on the page 2 in the back of your handout. He was trying to understand this Yushalmi that the Rambam just mentioned, right by one of D. The Kishem Shishkar Talmud Torah Keneged Shachol Keneged Kol Mitzvah. He was explaining, why is it that Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? Why is learning Torah equal to all other mitzvahs? And opposite that, Lashon Hara is the most worst of all Averos. Why is that? So he explains the following. The reason for this, the Chofetz Chaim says, it has to do really with the physical nature of the world. This physicality of the world. Eish, ruach, mayim, ofar. Hayisoid haruchni hu harbi yoser chozik miyisoid hagashmi. That there is those things that are spiritual, metaphysical, then there are the physical things in the world. And the things that are spiritual overcome those things that are physical. And then he speaks about, we see that this is a fact in the phenomenon of the world. And then he says that, for instance, when we do mitzvahs in a physical sense, we put on tefillin or we hold a lulav and esrog, we eat matzah. So what we are doing is we're being mekadesh, the physical, and by so doing, we are enhancing and channeling that into the ruchni, into the spiritual. And by so doing, yiskadesh adam l'Hashem. A person is, by every mitzvah a person does, he becomes more sanctified to God. But he says that the one thing that a person can engage in one mitzvah that is totally spiritual. And what is that? The one mitzvah that's totally spiritual is learning Torah. Everything else, you incorporate something physical. But the one thing that's totally spiritual is learning Torah. Because what you are engaging in is your intellect, but most of all your speech. And speech is that spiritual nature of man that is totally spiritual. Speech is that aspect of man that is considered and relegated to the spiritual. Because, again, it allows man to be so much superior than any other creature in the world. And therefore, that's the reason why Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Because when you're engaged in Torah, you're taking the spiritual and you are elevating this, you're doing a mitzvah now with the spiritual, which makes it all the more powerful. And that cannot be surpassed by any other mitzvah. And the same is true, Rachmana Litzlan, in the opposite way, with Lashon Hara. And he reads, he says the following. What are you doing? If you do an Aveira by striking someone so you're using as a terrible sin, but you're striking someone with your physical nature. But when you speak Lashon Hara, what you are doing is you are taking that spiritual part of yourself, and you are desecrating it, and you are somehow destroying it. And that's what's happening. You do any type of avera when you're using this physical nature. You are really doing an avera, you're violating a command of God, and you are engaging in tumah, in impurity, with utilizing that one aspect of yourself that is spiritual, that is the most spiritual part of yourself. And how terrible that is. And this is what happens. So we're not only talking about the Aveira itself, we're talking about the damage that it does. Just like learning Torah. You know, what do we say in davening? Hashiveinu ovinu l'serasecha v'kravenu malkeinu. We ask God first, return us to your Torah and bring us close to your service. This is what we say. Why? Because all you have to do is because Torah allows yourself to you discover yourself. You find yourself. It's totally spiritual. Tamo Torah k'neged kulam. So if you learn Torah, then your heart will be open and it will be easy to karvein malkein avodei secha. The opposite, God forbid, happens with lashon hara. And then something worse happens. And he speaks about it in Perek Yud. And what happens? A person could be sitting there and davening. And the rabbis told him, if Hashem, if you daven to God, God will listen. If you learn Torah, there's no greater mitzvah than learning Torah. And I don't want to depress anyone, but I just want to, you have to understand what we're dealing with. These are hard facts. And it might be depressing, it might be scary, and I understand if you want to leave now, but these are hard facts, and this is what the Shemir Saloshan speaks about. He says the following: Im heichen asan beisahi, we're up to E. B'chol koy choysev l'kayin kafi atayra b'chol chavlav rosh tzar lezeh l'fi kli hu'um neshoseh b'hem atayra hen kli hadibur. He says that the vehicle in order to be able to learn Torah in the most pristine way is to utilize the power of speech and intellect, right? Power of speech. Sheim yofim hudarim. If your speech is perfect, that's why we say that we have children daven, right? Hevel piyim shel tinoikil shebeis rabon. When they learn Torah, there's nothing greater. Why? Because their mouths are pure. I mean, I know our kids say things, you know, but God doesn't hold them responsible for what they say. So their Torah is the greatest Torah. You build the Beis HaMikdash, they keep learning, right? Nothing stops the learning of children. Their davening is accepted. When we say, Anim Zemiris and Shul, you know, what do they do? I don't know, in Ashkenazim, I don't know what they do with Sfarda. But we have the little kids say it, right? And I'm always wondering, such a Shirat Kavod. But the answer is, we could say it. We let the Hevel Piyim Shel Tinokos, we let the children say it. They're the ones who are worthy. So if you have a worthy mouth, if you're a Chafetz Chaim, and God will listen to your tefillos, your davening, and your tefillos will be, and your learning will be pure. Shemishdavim tamid letov. Vayideze nischazek koyach tushosam. Yeshem koyach lahamchech kedush al yoyna. You have such an unbelievable power. Avalim poigim. What happens if you took your speech and you broke it? What happens if you have a radio and you broke the transistors? Or you have a car and you take the cables from the battery and you snipped it, or the brakes. So your car is going to start. What happens if you have a broken mouth? So now you want to take and daven to God and please God. And He's waiting, He wants you to. But what happened to your mouth? Im koyach hadibur shelo, yidei lashon hara v'chilus, litzonis v'sheker. From lashon hara, from evil gossip, making fun of people, speaking improper words. If a person doesn't do tshuva, if a person does tshuva, if he repents, everything's forgiven. Tshuva is a wonderful thing, but you at least have to know what you're doing tshuva for. But if you don't, But if you speak after speaking Lashon Hara, or speaking in Shul, whatever, and then you daven to God, what koyach will you have? Vitzvila, he kedusha al yona, achre shikli hamavatishlo, heim poigim utmeim ba'asma mikfar. So this is you. So now you understand why Yaakov didn't even for a moment want to speak like Esav? Because he can't afford, I can't afford to have my mouth be like Esav even for a second. We can't afford to have Esav. Because we got too much going on. Because we have to daven. And I have no doubt that the reason why my mother survived and my grandfather survived all of his things was because the Chofetz Chaim gave a bracha. And because the Chofetz Chaim davened and his Talmidim davened. And they were careful on Lashon Hara. So their tefillahs were heard. I have no doubt. See how it all came together? But this is really, I think, the key. The reason why, if you look at our Chazal and you talk about why we have to remember about Miriam every single day, because how will your Torah make a difference by Maimon Har Sinai if you don't take care of the way you speak? Now, how you do that, the program of ACT will help in that respect. But I want you to know that this is where Cheiros is. Because Pesach comes from a compound word of Pesach. Because it's a mouth that speaks. Because everything about Pesach, the Igata Levincha V'Yemahu, has to do with Cheiros. Of living and reliving what happened by the Seder. But it's Pesach. It first starts with your mouth. And if we could be able to guard our tongue. What does David HaMelech say? That the Chofetz Chaim says, Nitzor L'Shoincha Meira. Now you understand, why does he start with that mitzvah more than the other ones? First you start with the most beautiful spiritual tongue. And if you got that tongue that's spiritual, you're a heavy hitter. Your davening is out of the park. Immediately answered. Your learning is immediately pure and perfect and gorgeous and terrific. And everything falls into place. So therefore, you're made, you're Liray's Toiv, then you're made, and people come over to you with your brachas. And all of our brachas will be Mekuyim. So I give a Yashar Koyach to our wonderful committee and this wonderful organization that picks all of these different aspects of life. And that in Yirtzeh Hashem, may we all be Zoicha of, to be Zoicha to that Oyev Yom Liray's Tov, that we should have good days, and don't take away from here, like feel depressed or anything. Just be aware of the realities of life, you know? And just be happy. That Baruch Hashem, Ashreinu Matid Chalkeinu, that we have the opportunity to be able to create this Kol Yaakov, to be the Kol of Yaakov, and that this will be that great, powerful, powerful weapon to protect us from Yadayim Yedei Esav, to bring us closer to Geula and Yeshua, and Amir Seshem, bring us Nechama for us and for all of us. Thank you.